The Glue, the podcast about business development, marketing, and communications in professional services.
So welcome to The Glue. I'm James Stringer, a former BD director and now trainer, consultant, and coach on business development, bids, and offsites. This podcast is called The Glue because the BD marketing and communications teams in professional services are the glue that holds the whole thing together. This episode considers whether the legal directories, publications such as Chambers and Partners and Legal 500, really do influence how clients choose their lawyers, or are they becoming sidelined as firms influence clients directly through social media and content creation? The costs involved in engaging with directories is high, and so this seems like a good time to consider topics including: does a great ranking really matter to clients? What factors do the directories use to decide which lawyer is the best? Why do law firms continue to put so much time and effort into engaging with these publications? And what's the future for directories as the legal industry continues to be disrupted and changes? To help me discuss these topics, I'm joined by Lloyd Pearson and Sarah Gerrard. Lloyd is a legal directories consultant who helps law firms raise their profile amongst publications that rank, analyse, measure, and write about lawyers. Since launching his business, Lloyd has worked with 200 law firms and 3,000 lawyers in 80 countries. Earlier in his career, Lloyd was an editor at Chambers & Partners and worked in-house at two law firms, Herbert Smith in London and White & Case in New York. Welcome to The Glue, Lloyd.
Thank you, James. Great to be here.
Sarah Gerrard is head of insights for the leading national law firm Waitmans. She oversees the firm's legal directory submissions, marketing client insights, client feedback program, and CRM system. She's worked in law firms for 18 years in a variety of business development, client development, and insights roles across national and international firms. Welcome to The Glue, Sarah.
Thanks very much, James. Delighted to be a part of this.
Okay, so let's get to the questions and our discussion. My first one for you, Sarah, is: does a great directory ranking really matter to clients?
I think it really depends on the client, I have to say, James. We have a very varied experience within Waitmans of the kinds of clients that we deal with. And so rankings can be very important in certain areas, such as within our public sector practices, so particularly in relation to local government, healthcare, and so on, and also in areas such as professional discipline and professional negligence, where we're looking for recommendations and referrals from other law firms. So we see it as an important component part of us getting a ranking in those areas, because historically they were seen as very important to the decision-making process for clients in that area. We also see it as quite important in relation to private client work, as it's used as a validation of our lawyers in those particular areas where people instruct on the basis of individuals rather than the firm as a whole per se. But I would say it's waning somewhat for some of our areas. And actually it's much more it's a much smaller comparative area of the overall mix comparative to where it used to be for us as a firm.
So it sounds, Lloyd, as though the directories are important, particularly in certain sectors. So, and I think presumably as a directories consultant, you wouldn't be arguing that we shouldn't be engaging with them. So I guess my question is, are all of the ranking organisations equally as influential, you know, when a lawyer, a practice or law firm are being judged?
No, there's a very clear hierarchy. You've got hundreds of different products. They've proliferated over the years. The legal sector has been a very lucrative market for ambitious legal publishers and entrepreneurs seeking to make a business out of this. So there's a vast range of different products. The ones that I think are going to concern us most today are what we'd call the research-led directories, and that's dominated by Chambers and Legal 500. They dominate because they cover every market, they cover all the main practice areas, they cover every country. And so most law firms at the upper end of the commercial legal market would be exposed to them in some way or would have an opportunity to participate. So for that reason, they can seem all consuming. But there's hundreds of other products out there. There are guides and surveys that target a particular industry sector. And they, although they have smaller circulations, they can be quite influential and certainly shouldn't be dismissed. There are regional products, you know, maybe catering to the Asian market or the Latin American market. There are peer review products, which are much less intensive from a marketing standpoint and rely on lawyers recommending other lawyers. They also have some weight in the market. And at the other end, there's a lot of more speculative products, which can be quite commercially driven, some of which are pay to play. Some of those are okay. Some of them are not. And some of them are just bordering on scams, really. So you get the whole range from respectable, credible to sort of verging on the criminal and everything in between. So part of the job of a marketing team is to segment them in some way and attach a level of importance to them. So what I do with the firms I work with is we'll put together like a three-stage assessment. So at one end, you have full participation. That would be the marketing team would coordinate everything. So Chambers would be an example of that. Then in the middle, you've got limited participation. So individual lawyers and practices can take a view on whether to do something, but there isn't going to be any firm-wide support. And then the third group would just be those that you would just reject and say, you know, this isn't something that we're going to do and we wouldn't encourage you to do so.
And Sarah, in terms of the sense of the value of directory rankings by fee earners, is it still universally seen as essential?
I think if you were to consider directories within the context of like a visual word cloud, the words that would spring to mind amongst the fee earners I work with and have worked with in the past is a variety of different tones. So love, hate, angst, creating, time-consuming, necessary evil, frustration, joy, all of the above. It's a real plethora of mixed emotions. What I would say is that there is always a tension between what is often seen as quite an arduous process and a very time-consuming process with sometimes really great returns for real justification of what teams are doing and how departments should be ranked and individuals should be ranked, versus some frustrations at sometimes not getting the credit for areas that they believe that they ought to get the credit in. But I think certainly the vast majority of the fee earners with whom I work do see it as a very valid exercise in justifying and demonstrating their credibility to the wider marketplace.
So it's not just an ego trip then?
Well, I think, you know, we all want to be recognized in our areas of expertise. And certainly this is a good way to do that. And we all have an ego, first and foremost. So actually, yes, it will massage that somewhat. But I would say that it does provide a good way of showing to the wider world the credibility that we do have in certain areas of law.
So Sarah is suggesting that there, again, fee earners feel that there is value. Lloyd, what are the factors that directors use to decide if, you know, you are a great lawyer, your firm has got a great practice in a particular area, which of those factors are the most important?
Well, the first thing I should say is that, and if we're talking about the likes of Chambers and Legal 500, the research-led directories, the rankings are relative. There isn't an absolute threshold you have to hit. So it's not scientific. It's not if you meet this, and this criteria, you're going to get listed. You just have to be at least as good as the competition. And the bar is high. I mean, these are publications that are unashamedly elitist. They concentrate on the very top end of the legal market. I don't have the precise stats to hand, but I would imagine that they're not going much beyond the top 5% of lawyers in the world if you added up all of the lawyers. So there's many, many good lawyers out there doing great work, but who are just not going to be in the crosshairs of these publications. So that's the first thing to say. If you are a firm or a lawyer who thinks they've got a reasonable chance of getting into one of these directories, the factors to consider are what the directories will look at if they're looking at ranking you. I would say five things, roughly in order of importance. The first thing is client feedback. So these are buyers of legal services. And what gives these directories their credibility is that they go out into the market and talk to these people confidentially about the service that they receive and the law firms that they use. And so that they attach a lot of weight to that. It really can make the difference between getting ranked and not ranked if you've got a strong body of client support for what you do. The second thing is peer feedback. A peer is another lawyer in private practice. And this is, it's not all things equal. A peer recommendation is not as important as a client recommendation, but it's still very important, particularly if it's coming from someone who's known to the directories, who's already highly ranked. You know, if one of your former colleagues, partner Alan Overy, who happened to be ranked in the top band, was to recommend someone else who was not ranked or in a lower band, that would carry some weight. So they do attach some weight to that. So it can help if you're a known quantity in the market, if you're a lawyer who mixes with other lawyers, partners with other lawyers, co-counsels, refers work to other lawyers and vice versa. Now, some areas of practice lend themselves to that more than others. Other lawyers don't tend to see opposition counsel as much. And that's the second factor. The third thing would be the substance of what you're doing. And that's where the submission really comes into its own, because that's your opportunity to describe the quality of the work that you're doing and bring that to the attention of the directory. So if you're doing great work and you're describing that, that carries some weight. So that would be factor three. Factor four, I would say, would be the directory's own editorial judgments, what they think of your firm, what they're hearing about them, what they're reading about them, their sense of your firm, you know, its profile in the market. So the legal press would come into play for that. But also within the directories, is that an area they're looking to expand? You know, from time to time, an editor will come along and say, look, we need to shake up this section. It's been pretty static for a few years. Let's look at getting some more firms in there. They will speak to the researchers in charge of that section and give them a mandate to sort of grow it. Could be a new section. I'm working on a submission at the moment for a client. It's a brand new section. And one thing I always encourage firms to do is get in there early on, while the directories will be more open-minded and receptive to new firms, and they're in build phase, so they're looking to grow the list, much easier than waiting 5 years down the line when firms have submitted and the bar goes higher. So that's factor four. The last thing I would say is just a bit of luck. Sometimes it goes your way. Clients respond. You know, the researcher has a favorable view of your firm. Folks, you know, other law firms come in for you, and everything just comes together nicely. And so it's a really a combination of those factors.
And Sarah, if when we were talking earlier about the value of rankings in different practice areas, you know, is it best mixed, isn't it? And particularly maybe for those areas where it's less proven, maybe in kind of for corporate clients, for example, or for financial institutions. Why do law firms continue to put so much effort into them when there are, you know, increasing ways of influencing clients, you know, in other ways than directory rankings?
I can only speak for my firm. We did an exercise a few years ago in looking to work out how much time was involved in completing a submission. And we surveyed our partners who were the leads for the various submissions that we were doing at that time. And on average for us, it was 8 to 12 hours of partner time were being put into each of the submission areas. Now, if you extrapolate that against an hourly rate and multiply it by however many submissions you do as a firm, for us, it's over 220 submissions each year. You can see it's quite an eye-watering figure. So for us, it's been very important to look at how we repurpose the content that we produce for our submission areas. It can't simply be considered as something that is done in isolation. So we use our content in terms of other submissions, whether that be surveys, award submissions, and so on. So looking at another external voice to demonstrate our value. We use the case highlights that we produce for the ranking submissions in our bids and our profiles. We look to use the quotes that we garner from the rankings each year through our external communications, whether it's our social media channels or our web feedback. So I think for us, we have to derive as much value as we can from reusing the content so that we're not simply considering the directories in isolation, that we're actually using it within the context of a wider mix of external marketing channels.
And Lloyd, how can lawyers engage more effectively with researchers and editors? Because that can be a challenge, can't it?
Yeah, I think the key is just not to see it as a one-off thing that you do on a seasonal basis, but more of a year-round effort. And Sarah's given some good examples there of how her firm, you know, exploits that information for other purposes. It's good to keep the directories informed. Things that are happening in your firm, add them to your press release list, meet them if possible, invite them into your firm if you're, say, doing some breakfast briefings or seminars, that kind of thing. I mean, from my time on the directory side, I always found those more substantive sessions the most helpful. Being invited to, you know, listen to a partner talk knowledgeably about their practice area, I always felt that was very helpful.
And Sarah, how do firms with less prominent brands increase their profile with editors and researchers at directories?
Throughout the year, it's very important for us to make sure that we're getting updated messages over to the researchers to keep them informed as and when we bring in lateral hires, where there's major changes to the firm. My firm merged with a quite significant London practice last year, which has borne fruit in terms of our rankings. So it's keeping the researchers appraised of where changes are happening on a fairly frequent basis for us.
And Lloyd, presumably, other than hiring you to help them improve their directory ranking, any tips for firms that perhaps aren't in that top elite as to how they can improve their standing?
Yeah, I mean, to add to what Sarah said, I think there are more opportunities now than there was, say, 10 years ago for smaller and mid-sized firms. It was very difficult in the past if you weren't a firm at the very top end of the market to make any kind of headway with the directories. What's changed is that the directories have widened, so they have more sections in more areas now than they used to, and they've also gone deeper into the market. In addition to that, they've launched various spin-off products which have helped certain firms. You know, I've seen firms, sort of non-traditional firms, do quite well in some of these sections in recent years, and I've helped a few of them myself. So there are more opportunities there than there was. The other thing I would say is it's always going to be easier for a firm if you've got some kind of niche or specialty. The firms that struggle, who aren't listed and who've come to this later, they're a bit late to the party and they're trying to break in. If you're just a general firm that does a bit of corporate, a bit of litigation, a bit of real estate or whatever, it's very hard because every firm does that and it's difficult to differentiate yourself. If you've got some special, the narrower the area or the more specialised the area, the better chance you've got.
Legal marketing has undoubtedly changed over the past 10 years, and it's obviously going to continue to evolve. My final question is, are directories still priorities for legal BD teams? And what does the future of the directory look like, Sarah?
I think they are still important. I think they probably have waned down the list in terms of importance comparative to other areas of the marketing mix. So for firms the size of Waitman's, we have a much greater focus on CRM and relationship management. There is much more need, I think, to engage with our clients in a one-to-one basis as opposed to simply sort of singing our own praises within directory submissions. So that is an incredibly important part of what we do as a business to ensure that we are building our relationships for the now and for the future. An important component part of that, and one area that I look after, is ensuring that we get direct client feedback from our client base, both in our top tier of clients, but also across the board. And so that's something that we are investing heavily in as a business as well.
And Lloyd, you presumably don't want to see the end of directories, but I challenge you, what is their role going to be?
I mean, there is a danger that this sounds self-serving. But having said that, the directories have been remarkably resilient and resistant to change. They were launched in the 1980s. They've been around for 40 years now, getting on for that. They've been written off repeatedly, and they've kind of waxed and waned in that period. If you look at it in the round, I think they've been remarkably resilient. And I don't think they're going to go away. I think part of their appeal is actually their conservatism. There's a very predictable annual research cycle, which is in contrast to the very sort of fast pace of a lot of current modern legal marketing. I think there's something quite reassuring about them. I think law firms, which are themselves quite conservative, quite like that. And I think there's almost a codependency there. I think there is sometimes this characterization that the directors are a bit like the vampire squid that's wrapped their arms around the law firms, and they've got them in this vice and they can't let go. And it's only these giant egos of the partners that are sustaining it. But I actually think that law firms value the market intelligence they provide. They bring a degree of transparency to the market, and they act as a forcing, and Sarah touched on this, they act as a forcing mechanism for you as a firm to go out and find information about what your partners are doing that you might otherwise not know. So I think that there are people who fantasize about them disappearing in a puff of smoke, but I met a lawyer once who said to me, the thing about legal directories is people complain about them. If they disappeared tomorrow, we'd all be sitting around saying, what this market needs is a legal directory. So, I think for that reason, they're going to stick around for a while.
So the last thing I want to do on this episode is to thank my guests, Lloyd Pearson and Sarah Gerrard. Thank you, Lloyd.
Thanks, James.
And thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, James.
We have exciting plans for future episodes, so please look out for updates from me on LinkedIn. You can find other episodes of The Glue on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. And please follow me or subscribe so you don't miss any. Goodbye.